Sean Summers, the chief executive of Pick and Pay, joins us. It has been one of the most closely watched turnarounds. Sean, from your side, before we get into the numbers for the 6 months to the end of August, when you walk into a store, and you're famous at this for actually meeting people on the shop floor, what is the big difference in the energy now within Pick and Pay to what it was like when you went in 2 years ago?
It's not a case, I'd like to think. I know that it's certainly dramatically improved. But it's a journey, Alec. You know, it takes quite a while to get the 60-odd thousand people that we have in Pick and Pay really pointing in the right direction. But I think we've made significant progress in that regard. And just from the feedback that I get from our call center, I monitor that actively. A lot of positive feedback starting to flow and come through.
Cody from Paul has sold multiple vehicles to We Buy Cars. Suspicious?
I think so.
Is that a crime?
No. Where are you getting the cars?
I buy them and I sell them at the spot, like a normal person.
Okay.
No, man, I'm just an accounting student. I know a good deal when I see one.
That's Excel meant. What's more stressful, tax season or selling a car at We Buy Cars?
Tax season, obviously.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
I have had a look at your share price very closely. You are in our BizNews portfolio, our tribe of big investors with you. And it's gone crazy in the last month, Sean. Is it suddenly that people are waking up to the reality of what you are doing there?
I think, Alec, when you have a look at the share price, a lot of what is in the share price is, in fact, the read-through of the Boxer performance. Boxer, as you know, has been absolutely stellar, and we still own 65% of that. So a fair portion of that is the read-through from Boxer. I don't think that the market really is placing much value on Pick and Pay yet. I think it's an issue of timing. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when. And as I said in the beginning, this would be a multi-year journey. You know, the company has been in a backward trajectory for over a decade. So, you know, to turn this around has to be done profoundly. So a lot of the institutional loss of our own muscle memory, it takes time to reinstate that. So, yes, the share price has been a wonderful performance, but more to come.
Now, here's the numbers. You do have a big turnaround, bottom line turnaround. You promised it when you were talking to the investment community at the results for financial year 2025. That was the end of February. These numbers today will certainly buoy shareholders when you see a headline loss improving 45%. You're still losing money at the headline area, and you're still losing money at pre-tax. But my goodness, from R1 billion to R300 million, that's some kind of turnaround.
Then there's been a lot of work to get there, Alec. In what is a very, very constrained market. I mean, the South African market at the moment is really tough. I mean, consumers are really doing it hard in this country across the length and breadth of the country. So it is a good performance. We're very happy with it. Would we want more? Absolutely. But on we go.
What about that Springbok sponsorship? How's that been received inside the group?
It's been phenomenal, Alec. You know, I've always believed fundamentally that the Springboks are the one thing that really unify this country and bring everybody together. So it's been extraordinary within the company just to see the enthusiasm. But, you know, it's more than just the Springboks. You know, we have the old Craven Week is now part of that as well. Gold Cup, we have the Club Rugby Championship. In fact, on Saturday, the Bulls beat the Western Cape in the final here in Cape Town. So it's just about grassroots level sponsoring rugby and supporting really sort of community and schools as well. Because, you know, rugby is a real force for good in this country at school level and at kid level.
I spoke to a couple of your major suppliers ahead of this discussion. And the one said he's very impressed with what's happening. He can feel that at the storefront, things are definitely going better at Pick and Pay, and he's getting more orders. The other one said, no, you're getting smashed by ShopRite, Checkers ShopRite. He says orders are falling. Sean's brought in the pensioners. He's hired a whole lot of pensioners, and basically you're just prettying it up for sale. So you get two sides of the coin. What would you say to those two?
I'd say to the second guy, obviously he doesn't know what he's talking about. If you have a look at where we are, Halleck, I mean, the reality is, you know, we've closed quite a lot of stores in the last 18 months in the company, non-performing stores. So we've taken about 4 billion of sales out. So if you look at just a flat line total volume that Clicampay is doing, it's kind of flat year on year. Our like-for-like sales in our existing stores are up well. So that dynamic is always going to play out. So he's obviously not a supplier of scale because there's no supplier of scale that would be making those comments. So, you know, that's the reality of it. So from here, we will start to continue to grow. The store closures have kind of been done to all intents and purposes. There are a few that will get left to be done, maybe sort of 5 or 8 stores. And after that, you know, we review every lease as it comes up, which is part of what all retailers do. No retailer gets every single store choice right. And over time, demographics change. And your beloved Amanus, we did a small cleanup in the store. We're still in negotiation with the landlord there. Next year, you'll see a major revamp in that store coming up. I think we've got about 17 revamps that are reopening between now and the end of the year. I was in Langeberg Mall in Mossel Bay on Friday. So, yes, things are really starting to move. And the feedback that I get, and, you know, you've got to be careful because people tell you what you want to hear. But you've got to look at a combination of the numbers. And I think that all of the retailers are under pressure in the country at the moment. And you can even see in ShopRite's results that even they are also feeling the pressures of a constrained market currently.
You say even they. There's a perception that ShopRite is just so far ahead that no one will be able to catch it. What's your strategy to pull them back or get closer to them?
You know, I think, Alec, is really it's not a race for size of the most stores. You know, we are genuinely on a mission again to put Pick n Pay back at the top of being the best supermarket chain in South Africa. And that's where we were 17, 18 years ago. And, you know, that took time to get there. It's as, you know, as I quote regularly, you know, Roger Scruton, the conservative English philosopher who once said that great things are easily destroyed, but not so easily built. And, you know, our truth is that, you know, our company was destroyed from the inside. It was hollowed out from the inside. There's nothing that happened to us that wasn't self-inflicted. So to reinstate and to rebuild that corporate muscle memory again, it's the same as a sports person. You know, you put a tennis racket in the hand of Roger Federer, he knows what to do with it. And to a degree, we had forgotten what we really stood for, what we really believed in. And very, very importantly, what we don't believe in and what we don't do. So to reinstate that muscle memory back into the company again, it takes years. It's not about size. It's about getting back to being the best again.
We've seen that Checkers has been gaining market share and their 60-60 product is very popular. You have relaunched ASAP. How's it doing against 60-60? And indeed, are you looking to win back market share there, or is it really just to serve your own customers better?
No, well, I mean, ASAP is obviously our customers as well. It's not our primary focus. You know, for those customers that want home delivery and what have you, we'll absolutely do it with the greatest of pleasure. But our primary focus is great stores, great product, great people, and great shopping experience. That's our primary focus. So ASAP, the relaunch of ASAP was with a new app where we've combined and put everything into one under the new app. And it's a very important part of the business, but it's not why we get up in the morning.
So why do you get up in the morning?
Why do I get up in the morning? to get back to where it was before. No, I get up very early every morning and I don't sleep much at night. This is truly, Alec, it's a labor of love. It's a labor of passion for all of us. It's my old abiding theory that, you know, I want people who drive to work faster than they drive home. And certainly I can tell you today in Pick n Pay, compared to 2 years ago when I came back, you couldn't find a pulse or a heartbeat in the company. Today, it's a very, very different place. Trust me. So notwithstanding the mountain that we still have to climb here, the sense of purpose, the belief, and your beliefs have always got to be reasonably grounded. You've got to realize the challenges that lie ahead of you. But our sense of purpose and journey is absolute.
So if you take that mountain as an analogy, if you were climbing Table Mountain, which you know well, where would you be on the journey? What percentage have you clambered up already?
I would say we've kind of got to the base station. We've kind of have bought our ticket. We're about to get on the cableway. And about to start our journey. So a lot of what we've been putting in place will come to the fore in the next while. But I would say, you know, we're kind of leaving base camp. We're on our way up the mountain now. But it's been quite a journey to get to base camp and to get everything sorted out, to start getting things in the right line and to get going.
And when will you feel that you've done enough that you can actually go back into retirement? Are you even thinking about that at the moment?
I don't even think about that. They've asked me to stay on until May 28. There's still another 2.5 odd years. And for me, very importantly, Alec, and the reason why I agreed to stay is that it is so important that the succession and the management team that is built up in this company is just built up calmly and quietly and profoundly, because the mark of my success here is not going to be in my time. It's going to be in 5, 8, and 10 years time. That when people drive around, they say, wow, you know, Pick n Pay is still there and it's doing well and it's a beautiful little business. Yeah, and for us, it's not just about size, Alec. You know, we never ever in the beginning, when Raymond started this business, it was never about being the biggest. It was about just trying to be the best and deliver the most for the consumers. And that's what we focused on. SARS will just be an outcome of that. It's not a goal.
And the role of Boxer going forward, now that it's independent, and those numbers were very good as it was released a week ago.
No, Merrick and the Boxer team, absolutely wonderful. And I mean, stellar, stellar performance there. And we're just very, very proud of Boxer. We're very, very fortunate to still own the 65% we own of it. Personally, I would have still loved to have owned 100% of it, but you know, that was a reality that we had to do in order to deal with our balance sheet. But Boxer continues to trade strongly, opening stores, really great.
And with hindsight, the investment that you've taken from selling 35% of Boxer and putting it into Pick n Pay, would you do that again?
Absolutely. We didn't really have any option, like, to be honest. So we had to do it. We sold what we needed to deal with. And, you know, that was the situation that Pick n Pay found itself in. But we're busy at the moment, as I've said, plotting our way forward where Pick n Pay will become sustainable again and freestanding and strong.
And you've got enough now in the bank with your debt being retired to be able to do the refurbs, the sprucing up of the Pick n Pay network.
Sure. I mean, this is, we don't have endless capital. You know, one would sort of dream of saying, listen, if we had X capital, you could do Y. So we have to cut our cloth accordingly. But I think within the confines of what we want to achieve in the short to medium term, we have adequate capital. As I said, we've got another 17, 18 revamped stores that are going to be done, reopening by the end of this year. And the next year, we'll have some of the bigger centers. You know, we'll have the waterfront being done, completely redoing our Seapoint store, Canal Walk. And so it goes, you know, LaLucia, more. So we've got a whole list of stores that we're now going to be plugging into. We still have great real estate. We're still in fantastic places, but underinvested. So we'll continue to deal with that in a planned manner in the time going forward.
What are you expecting will be the toughest questions today from the investment community?
Alec, you know, I don't know. I mean, you ask, what are the toughest questions? You know, for me, I've been around a while. There's no such thing really as a tough question. You know, there's just honesty. It's the way that I've always lived my life. You know, you just simply tell the truth, because if you start telling little porcupines or trying to guide people up the wrong channels and what have you, you only make a rod for your own back.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful day ahead. Thank you, Sean Summers, CEO of Pick n Pay. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.